You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. And it's a day when we have to push the JSE aside just for the first couple of minutes and reflect, as we won't be speaking tonight, reflect upon the presidency of Donald J. Trump. And I was trying to think this morning about one thing that really summed it up for me, and there were so many, it's difficult to whittle them down. But what would you say would be the defining moment or comment from this creature over the last 4 years?
It's difficult, isn't it? Many. I mean, the one that springs to mind is someone posted recently a picture of him which summed up the man we're dealing with, where he was. And there's so many we forget. Where he was staring at the solar eclipse with no glasses on, squinting.
I don't remember that one.
Well, everyone was surrounded with their sunglasses, and he wasn't. Yeah, he was. It's squinting at the solar eclipse directly into the sun, which was a classic. I mean, there is so many, but
thousands.
I think the fact
them.
That he was just the riots. I think the Charlottesville riots, when he sort of praised the sort of said there were good people in the far right wing.
Yeah.
You know, sort of people that springs to mind, and of course. I think Charlottesville riots for me, and
Yeah, I mean, when that video came out before he was president about abusing women, misogynist came out. But the other thing that really gets me is two things. He says, when he says China, he doesn't say China, he says China. And I think to myself, you know, this is the second biggest economy in the world. You mustn't isolate these people. But the other one was whenever he said Barack Obama, he didn't say Barack Obama, he said Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, which tells you how racist this freak is.
No, he was a well-known horrific sort of chauvinist, male sexist, you know, and racist. I mean, there's a number of pictures doing the rounds where he was speaking about the coronavirus 19 vaccines and all the rest of it. And when he did a speech, the press took a photograph of his notes, and he had crossed out the pre-typed notes wherever it said COVID or Corona, and he had changed it to China.
Yes,
just to be blatantly racist. I mean that was the man, and I do think touching on that now. I mean his legacy also. I mean he was. Don't forget the very start of the pandemic at the beginning of last year, or sort of February, March, April.
Yeah,
he said it'll be gone, like a miracle. It'll be gone. We're almost there. There's like one or two infections. It'll be gone.
It was 15, actually, what he says. I think it was January the 27th or something like that. And he said there are 15 cases. There'll be zero within a few days. And it'll miraculously disappear.
And, of course, now it is his final day, midday America. He'll be leaving as the 45th president of America. And he'll be leaving with America registering a number of deaths to equal a 9/11 every single day.
400,000 people dead.
That's his... his legacy.
Yeah, well done, Donald J. Trump, and all those people that like him. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Okay, let's have a look at the JSE now and the Stock Exchange News Service. A BHP Group operational review for the half year ended 31st of December. The share price up to, goodness me, that's actually not that great, but 0.9%. But anyway, BHP Group. Do you like this one as your diversified miner?
I do. It's one of our top picks along with Anglo's. I like them and we like them as a firm just with their portfolio of what they've got. I mean, they've got one of the few that have got 20% exposure to the price of oil and petroleum products. They've got a very nice mix with Repose to iron ore, with iron ore price at $170 it was this morning, so they're cracking ahead there. Yeah, it's definitely one of the preferred ones. And of course their balance sheets. Out of all the sort of miners in the world, diversified miners, they're by far the most cash flush and the most cash flow positive. So ticks all the boxes for us. I think certainly from a South African point of view, it's one of the easiest conversations, Lindsay, we have with clients is, do you own BHP Billiton? No, then you have to buy it now. Just buy it.
Yeah, diversification and just so well run after years and years and years of experience in the commodities business and with commodities going up, of course. Another commodity that's going up is luxury goods suddenly as an asset class. And Compagnie Financière Richemont, came out with their trading update for the third quarter ended 31st of December 2020. Share price up around about 3.5%. Yeah, this has been a quietly busy company over the last year or so with all sorts of things going on, whether it be internal and corporate or whether it be acquisitions and going online. It's a very, very interesting company.
Yeah, we've spoken about it a few times. It's been in the, you know, it's been in the sort of conversation for various reasons. I mean, the one side, as we started off with the lockdowns and all the rest of it, you know, the luxury goods had a bit of a negative slant. People are saying, well, you know, this, in this pandemic, who's going to be dashing out luxury goods? I mean, LVMH springs to mind, and Tiffany and all this, but there's been quite a bit of M&A activity. Tiffany being bought by LVMH.
Yes.
It turns out that a lot of the rich people in the world sitting in Dubai or in the Far East and other places who couldn't go on exotic holidays have decided to spend their money rather on luxury goods. Mm. So these luxury goods, ironically, have been almost sort of pandemic proof. It's been quite bizarre. I mean, even as an environment, I mean, sales up 5%. I mean, who's going out there buying, you know, I don't know, $20,000-$30,000 watches?
Certainly not me, Nick, actually. Mm. I don't own a watch and I never will own a watch because it irritates my wrist.
I mean,
there
was very strong... Mm. Sorry, Lindsay. Go I was going to say very strong growth specifically in their luxury brands in Asia Pacific and the Middle East. So, I mean, they are certainly driving the spending. And then I saw a note which kind of flies against what I've been talking about recently on the show. And I was talking about, I don't understand how this these freight prices have been shooting up, you know, from $2,000 to $9,000. And I listened to a podcast yesterday from an expert talking about it, and he said the knock-on effect of the pandemic is also the fact that a lot of people couldn't go travel or spend elsewhere have decided to spend and get stuff delivered. And if you look at the online sales that Richemont just posted now, like a massive jump, seem to be selling more and more stuff online. So we're seeing here a bit of an old-fashioned brand that owns things like you know, Cartier and Louis Vuitton and sorry, they don't own Louis Vuitton. Montblanc.
Yeah.
More and more people embracing online retail, even in this high-end space. So, yeah, a really good set of numbers. And stock is running away with it as well.
Very good. Let's have a look elsewhere. The company we've been speaking about quite a lot in the last week or so, Montauk Renewables Inc., pre-listing announcement in respect of the secondary inward listing of the common shares of Montauk Renewables. Anyway, this is a company that is fascinated. It's listed on the JSE. It's going to the NASDAQ. Nobody seems to know what it does or why it's doing it, but it's a great story. People have made a lot of money out of this one.
Yeah, look, we kind of know what they do, but it's just it's sort of... It just hasn't been in the forefront of most people who look for investments on the JSE. But those that did have really, really got this right. Yeah, they're in the sort of oil exploration or gas exploration business, and specifically within North America. Mm. But yeah, they are, I'm not sure the exact sort of terminology, but they are actually having a primary listing on the NASDAQ, which is a little bit reverse to what most people do, and having a secondary listing on the JSE. So they're going to maintain a listing on the JSE, but it's not going to be their primary. So certainly hoping to tap in, I think, to a higher premium demand and bigger shareholders in the US. So not a bad little story. We've been seeing so many companies delist on the JSE. These guys are stepping up to the big ball. So good luck to them.
Very good, yes, and I hope they do very well indeed. And let's have a look at the diary today. What's going on? Obviously, the big one is the inauguration. I think it will go very smoothly, personally. Lady Gaga is going to be singing something. I don't know what she's going to sing. She's fantastic. But anyway, there are 200,000 flags rather than 200,000 people in that area. It will be interesting, and just to see what the fallout is, whether the markets suddenly say, wait a second, there's a new president here with a new Treasury Secretary and, you know, potentially a new Fed chair, something. So it just seems to me everyone's a little bit sanguine about this, and everyone's just saying, and that's going to be absolutely fine. It's going to be much better.
It does have that feeling. Look, the S&P futures sitting at 3,800.
Exactly.
I mean, it's been stuck on this level, as we've spoken about, for the last couple of weeks, you know, give or take 20 points either side, almost back at the all-time highs. Definitely a bit of a risk-on feel about it. You know, we've also got, don't forget, yesterday, with all this news flow, we didn't really touch on it, but Janet Yellen, who's been proposed to be the new Treasury Secretary under Mr. Joe Biden, she was answering questions yesterday in front of Congress or the people, the senators, and in all intents and purposes, we saw the pre-prepared speech talking about going big. She basically is just going to go full out. I mean, we know she's an Uber dove. Those printing presses are going to continue. I think she touched on, someone mentioned that she spoke about a long-dated bond, like reintroducing. America has 30-year bonds. She's talking about going 50-year bonds. So that printing press is going to carry on. The punch bowl is not being taken away. So you've got to, I guess, anticipate that, you know, it's still positive for risk assets, even at these lofty levels.
Let's have a look at some lofty levels now, because the dollar rand, fantastic news. 1487. The dollar rand is 1487, was 1935, 10 months ago. British pound against the rand is 2032. The euro rand is 1807. The euro dollar is 121.55, which is a 0.2% fall for the US dollar. The British pound, 136.70. Last night in the United States, the Dow Jones was up 0.4%. The S&P was up 0.8%. The Nasdaq shooting the lights out yet again, up 1.5%, and we'll talk about Netflix in a moment, Nick. The gold price is up $22 per ounce to $1,855. Platinum is up 30 to $1,106. Where's palladium, please?
Palladium is also having a bit of a bounce back, 2,392, so almost back at 2,400, 1.2% firmer today.
West Texas crude is up 0.75%, or 41 cents per barrel, to $53.39. Brent crude oil is $56.29, up 0.7% as well. Where's Bitcoin, if you would?
Oh, Bitcoin. I got a little bit of a knock yesterday. Yellen sort of bashed it a bit.
Oh, good. So I mean, no, not good.
Twitter,
I mean,
space.
Yes.
A lot of Twitter space, people saying, "No, who does she think she is? She doesn't understand it." Let's have a look at Bitcoin. Hold on.
Probably down about $500. Come on now.
$500. Bitcoin is, no, it's much worse. $872 down, 35,605.
These people are losing and making so much money in such a short space of time. The US 10-year bond yield is 110. It was, last time we spoke, 111. So nothing going on there in the face of Janet Yellen's let's go big comments. What else are we looking forward to today? Yes, go on.
Can I touch on something that entered my inbox yesterday? And I actually found it, you know, quite encouraging. It was from the big investment house Morgan Stanley, who you will all know. It's one of the biggest houses. In fact, I think they've just overtaken either JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs for the most M&A deals in the world. They put out a note. They put out a note yesterday on South Africa.
Yes.
And the headline on the note was "The Dividend Difference." And I'll just read you one or two lines, because it's quite a nice flavor to maybe why we're seeing such a strong all share at the moment, hitting all-time highs as we speak.
Yeah.
It says, after some hiatus in 2020, dividends are back on the cards for the bulk of top 40 SA equities in 2021. Exceptional potential yields on offer for the South African mining sector. This was put out to their clients. It says, low growth, government negotiation with global pharma companies ongoing, but as things stand, the potential limit supply of vaccines points to low relative economic growth. However, dividends looked set to be re-established in 2021 for key sectors. And it goes on to talk about the high yield, etc. And he says, basically, given the expectations, the South African mining sector offers significant yield potential in a low yield environment.
Mm.
It goes on. It's quite a detailed environment. But nevertheless, you know, it just says, you know, there is some people looking at emerging markets, looking at South Africa, which is the bottom of the pile of emerging markets, and saying, well, actually, not only are the Southern South African shares are cheap, but the potential for a high dividend environment in a low yield world is worth something to look at. So there's a bit of a positive spin.
Very much so. But how quick are the cycles, or how lengthy are the cycles these days? That's what we must talk about with David Shapiro on Thursday, because sometimes you say, well, this is a new trend, but new trends are becoming more and more compressed, if you see what I mean, time-wise.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that. Top five major movers on the JSE today. Hammerson up 4.1%, Sappi up 3.9%. Richemont, we spoke about to them after their trading update, nearly 4% higher. Prosus up again, up 3.33%, and Dis-Chem up 2.7%. On the downside, Truworths down 2.7% after a really good move yesterday. TFG after a really good move today, that's yesterday rather, that's the Fashini Group, down 2.2%. Mr. Price the same, down 2.1%. They really are followers, aren't they? They're sheep, these people. Woolies down nearly 2%, and Pepcor down 1.1%. So I've got Truworths, TFG, Mr. Price, Woolies, and Pepcor on the downside, which is strange, I suppose, as you would say, profit-taking, Nick.
That is strange, because given where the rand is, you know, the retailers are normally a direct correlation and beneficiary of a stronger rand. So I don't know, maybe it is a little bit of that, because they have run quite strong. But we are seeing more and more of the sort of the retailers are coming out with trading updates from November now, and I think December, and I think they're erring a little bit on the not so great side. So it's probably what we're seeing, a little bit of froth coming out of it.
CRB index, that's the Commodity Research Bureau index, is down very, very slightly. What are the JSE indices doing after 1.25 hours of trading?
Okay, so after 1.25 hours of trading, I'm just going to bring up here. Okay, so we have the all share 64,326. It is a new all-time high in the JSE all share. 1.14% firmer. Hurrah. Yes. Now, there's been about 3 all-time highs so far of 2021. The financial index is the lagger down. Oh, it's flat. It's down 0.2%. Top 40 tradable also up 1.25%. 59,100, closing on the 60,000 level for the first time ever. Looking at technology shares, 2.73% higher, the biggest rise. That'll be your process in your NASPERS. Basic materials, 0.86% firmer. Energy shares, 0.35% firmer. And on the downside, healthcare is lagging, 0.39%. Consumer cyclicals, we spoke about that now with the retailers, they're down 1.2%. And industrials, 0.73% firmer. And value traded after 1 hour and 15 minutes. Looks like it's panning out to be a good session. 3.77 billion so
far.
That's
huge.
Could be a big one.
That's really big. Yeah, very good. Nick, thank you so much for your time. Nick Kunzo is from Sanlam Private Wealth. That was the opening. Nick will be back with me tomorrow evening for the 5 o'clock shadow with David Shapiro. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.